Thank you, sir. We are now going to hear from Mr. Davis. He's an ecologist and has prepared evidence in relation to the extensions at Cadrona and at Triple Cone.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Davis.
I've been engaged by Queensland Lakes District Council to provide evidence in relation to ecological matters regarding those extensions to Cadrona and Triple Cone ski area subzones in the proposed district plan. A total of 4 extensions to the Cadrona ski area subzone have been requested from Cadrona Upland Resort Limited, Mount Cadrona Station Limited, Soho Ski Area Limited, and Blackmans Creek No. 1 LP, and Anson Branch Creek Limited. The CARL, MCSL and Soho submissions are on land that has a long history of pastoral activity, including burning, grazing, oversowing, top dressing, and in some areas cultivation. These activities resulted in the complete removal of indigenous vegetation or the significant modification of indigenous systems. Regarding the extension sought by Soho, I have identified shrubbing communities within Little Meek Creek and Callaghan's Creek that, in my view, has significant ecological values. The shrublands are a degraded representative of the original pre-settlement vegetation and contain threatened plant species, including Leary lineata, at risk of declining, which is yeah. The shrublands are important communities to support passerines and the eastern falcon, which is listed as at risk of recovering, and a distinctive endemic invertebrate community. I consider the ecological values of the shrublands would be better protected within the rural zone. Provided the shrublands are excluded from the rezoning, I do not oppose the extension sought by Soho. And at this stage, I might just make a point that the is a revised area in the Soho submission, if you've seen it, that will actually pull it out of those struggling communities.
I was going to ask you that. So the revised.
Yeah.
Yes. The other thing I'll say is that when we did our site visit, we actually came across the Eastern Falcon
right
beside the road. Didn't even move as we drove up to it, having breakfast.
Yeah, there's
a beautiful birds.
Yeah, they are. There's good populations in Cadrona Valley. I have no issues with the CARL and MCSL extensions from an ecological perspective. The Anderson submission seeks an extension to the ski area subzone within the alpine zone, ranging in altitude from 900 metres above sea level to approximately 1800 metres above sea level. The area contains a relatively intact altitudinal sequence of ecological communities, which includes tall tussock grassland to an elevation of 1,750 metres ASL, where the grassland grades into alpine wetlands and fell fields. The vegetation communities are representative of vegetation that would have been present prior to human settlement and will support a range of indigenous invertebrates, lizards and birds, including the nationally threatened kea and at-risk recovering eastern falcon. Given the high ecological values present within the proposed area and fragile alpine communities present, I consider that permitting such activities as installation of passenger lifts, snowmaking infrastructure and earthworks could result in significant ecological effects, such as removal of habitat, providing opportunities for weed invasion, erosion and subsequent loss of habitat through deposition of sediment onto wetlands. Given the ecological values and sensitivity of the alpine environment, I oppose the Anderson submission and consider it as more appropriate to consider any proposal to extend ski area activities into this environment through the non-compliant activity status as set out in Rule 21.4.19, or for passenger lift systems as a discretionary activity. Triple Cone Investments Limited sought to extend the Triple Cone ski area subzone to accommodate the installation of gondola. The extension area covers an altitudinal range from the valley floor at 300 metres above sea level to approximately 1,000 metres above sea level. The area has had a long history of pastoral activity, including burning and grazing, and has been oversown and top-dressed up to about 1,000 metres above sea level. This has resulted in significant modification to the indigenous communities across the site. However, the area has some indigenous values, including a beech forest and shrubland community on the northern boundary of the proposed rezoning, an area of Madagari shrubland situated close to the Wanaka Aspiring Road, and small areas of shrubland and wetlands. The beech forest and shrubland community on the northern boundary is highly representative of pre-settlement vegetation and, in my view, should be excluded from the extension area. Providing this is excluded, I do not oppose the extension sought by Triple Cone ski area subzone.
Thank you.
I don't have any good either. Again, with treble comb, depending on where you go, I mean, even now, not seeking the extension to the whole zoning. So, I don't have any questions.
No questions. Thank you.
Can you clarify your points, please?
Thank you. I will now turn to Dr. Reed.
By Queenstown Lakes District Council to provide evidence in relation to landscape matters regarding proposed extensions to the ski area subzones in the proposed district plan. My evidence addresses proposed extensions to these zones at Cadrona, Treble Comb, Torrens Peak and the Remarkable. All bar a part of the rezoning requested by NZ Ski on the lower slopes of the Remarkables are entirely located within outstanding natural landscapes. Extensions to the ski area subzones of Cadrona. Mount Cadrona Station Limited requests an extension to the modified SAS, which would connect it to the Mount Cadrona Special Zone to provide a corridor for a future gondola development as anticipated by the zone. I understand that the release sought in the submission has been revised so that the extended subzone would only make the construction and operation of a passenger bus system as defined a controlled activity. Otherwise, I understand that the underlying rural zone provisions would apply to any other activity other than the passenger bus system. I consider that this bespoke extension would not cause any adverse effects on the landscape of the vicinity that are not already anticipated. Soho Creek and Blackmans Creek number 1 request an extension of approximately 360 hectares. Now, I've seen Mr. Ferguson's recent submission reducing that in area. So consequently, that means they don't no longer do seem to wish to construct a gondola. In terms of the...
I wouldn't say they don't want to construct the gondola. I think what they're saying is that they're happy with the restricted discretionary approach. So we'd be happy for you to continue to address the issue of the gondola.
Okay.
But if you are also able to comment on the area that they want the extension to be used for skiing, which would include a lift, obviously. That would also help us, thank you.
Okay, well, I'll continue reading what I've said then, and then anything that's not covered, perhaps I can cover
yes.
later. Okay. They originally requested an extension of approximately 360 hectares to the SAS south of Cadrona Township to facilitate the construction of the gondola. I consider that such development in this area would adversely affect the visual amenity and experience of remoteness which is achieved in the southern part of the Cadrona Valley. It would constitute sprawl, taking development south of Meg Creek, which acts as the natural southern boundary to the Cadrona Township. Also, the construction of what could be the third gondola in the valley, one consented, one anticipated, would have a significant adverse cumulative effects, in my opinion. Consequently, I do not support the relief requested. Anderson Branch Creek Limited requests an extension to the Cadrona SAS, incorporating approximately 490 hectares of elevated land to the north of Boundary Creek. In my view, this area has little ability to absorb development, and I note no expert evidence has been filed by the submitters to dispute in us. Cadrona Alpine Resort Limited seek to rezone approximately 50 hectares of land located at the northeastern corner of the existing SAS and downslope of it. I consider that this extension would potentially create an area of sprawl adjacent to the Mount Cadrona Special Zone, Mount Cadrona Station Special Zone, with cumulative adverse effects on the character and quality of the landscape of the valley. Consequently, I do not support the relief requested. Again, no expert evidence has been filed in support of the rezoning submission. extensions to the SAS at Treble Cone. Treble Cone Investments Limited requests an extension to the SAS at the eastern, to the east of the existing boundary, extending from its lowest margin to the valley floor. This is to facilitate the construction of a gondola for which consent already exists. In my view, the additional development which will be anticipated within the subzone, that is the ski area activities as defined, would exceed the capacity of the valley landscape to absorb it. Consequently, I do not support the relief requested. Extensions to the SAS Act, they're remarkable. NZ Ski have requested an extension of 29.67 hectares at the highest reaches of the remarkable SAS, referred to as Area 1 in my evidence. They sought that a gap between the notified subzone boundary and the district boundary be zoned SAS. Since filing my evidence, I've become aware that the submitter and myself, in fact, relied on the current district boundary as identified in Council's online GIS maps, which is downslope, and that should read south of the ridgeline, not west of the ridgeline. I now understand this location to be incorrect and that the district boundary and the SAS boundary coincide in this area and are located downslope and north, not east, of the ridgeline. This is shown on the plan maps of both the ODP and PDP, that is, that the SAS boundary and the district boundary coincide. But they lack contextual information, so it was like topography. So that's why some of the confusion arose. I oppose the rezoning of the ridgeline to SAS in my evidence, but now understand this to be within the Central Otago District. I'm opposed to the component of the submission seeking that the area identified on Mr. Dent's attachment A as proposed area subject to policy restricting structures and earthworks be rezoned SAS, and consider it to remain zoned rural, as I consider that this area around Lake Alpha is extremely sensitive and important part of the alpine landscape. NZC have also requested the rezoning of a block of land in the Coneburn Valley, which extends to the east from the Kingston Road and is referred to as Area 2 in my evidence. I'm opposed to this extension of the ski area subzone as I consider that the development it would facilitate would likely have significant adverse effects on the landscape of the lower remarkables. Extensions to the SAS at Coronet Peak. In relation to Coronet Peak, NZC sought two extensions at Dirty Four Creek and into the back bowls. Although these two submissions are still live, NZC has chosen not to file any evidence on them and to accept the panel's findings based on the council's evidence. As set out in my evidence, I'm opposed to the requested three zonings at Coronet Peak, because of the risk of significant cumulative adverse effects on the landscape with regard to the back bowls area, and because of the risk of significant adverse effects on the natural character and aesthetic coherence of the long gully landscape with regard to the Dirty Four Creek area. Excuse me. General. In general, it is my opinion that the ski area subzones, as they've been applied in the ODP and the PDP, are in the main incoherent from a landscape perspective. By that, I simply mean that the boundaries don't coincide with any landscape features that make the ski area subzones discrete within the landscape. The extensions to the zones which have been proposed would, in most cases, make the zones even more incoherent. The Cadrona Treble Cone and remarkable ski hills are all located in truncated alpine valleys, and in the case of Snow Farm Park, on the summit of the Pisa Range. From a landscape perspective, there is potential for significantly more development within these land features than that which is currently present. The proposed SAS does not recognise or facilitate this, however. While these areas of the subzones could absorb more development, it remains my opinion that the outstanding natural landscapes below the ski fields have high importance, and where rural zones should retain the full protection of the landscape provisions in Chapter 6. I'm not trying to answer any questions.
Thank you. I do have a few broader questions, just
so I've got a better understanding of the whole landscape provisions in Queenstown. I just wondered what your view is, you know, going to that, you know, section six and those matters of national importance where it talks about, you know, protecting them from inappropriate subdivision use and development. Do you approach that professionally in the sense that you need to look at any activity may be appropriate versus the effects of the activity, or do you look at it in a ski field sense and say a gondola or something may well be appropriate because it's what's envisaged, and I need to look at the effect of that? What's the starting point?
I think
it's a broad question, but
yes. I mean, I guess that the point at which most of the assessments that I undertake is within the ambit of the district plan. So in that case, it's whether or not the development is appropriate within the ski zone, rather than...
But from just a straight effects point of view? Or
from an effects point.
Rather than saying, this is a ski zone, a gondola, even though it might be somewhere outside of it, is clearly something that might be envisaged here because it's part of the activity that happens down here, i.e. skiing, so therefore is it of itself not inappropriate?
I think the answer would be that some things would not be inappropriate and other things would probably inappropriate, yes.
So in terms of the outstanding natural landscapes in the proposed plan, which I think are pretty much the same as what's in the operative plan, I don't, from your evidence, and I've gone back and looked at some of the others, were you involved in initially in establishing the outstanding natural landscapes, or you
yes,
were?
Yes, I was.
You were?
Yes.
Yes
and no. I did a piece of work for council identifying where I thought the boundaries should be, and that was not an assessment from first principles. It was a matching like for like exercise, really, and taking as given some of the outstanding natural landscapes that were considered, and just determining where the boundaries were and where consideration hadn't really been given any depth where they should continue to be.
So out of this sort of that seminal environmental case, the 18099, which applied the Wesley factors and co, and of course since then there's been the modified version and ongoing. So in terms of the proposed plan, how much kind of going back or looking at what landscape architects considered, you know, that methodology or an appropriate methodology now got applied such that I think you got reconfirmed, or did that not happen?
If there was an area, excuse me, an area that was marginal perhaps, or not obvious, then I did apply the amended Picton Bay factors to my consideration.
Right. And those always come through in the proposed plan?
Yes, in most cases.
Right. So taking, thank you for those are sort of the broader questions. So taking, for example, subzone B of the Remarkables, where I think it's Mr. Scallon talks about, he thinks the line is in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And I think Ms. Banks has quite rightly pointed out that, you know, the line is the line, it's in the proposed plan. But what's your view on his line? Do you think he's right in terms of what actually you think is an outstanding natural landscape?
No, I don't.
Right.
And I'm actually addressing that in the mappings.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So, and then just coming to Mount Cadrona and the corridor issue, where their revised, or their position really is what they want is the gondola. And I know there's a bit of an exchange in your rebuttal about how concerned you are about a gondola, but do I interpret that where, in terms of if a corridor was provided for a gondola in that 400 metre strip, you were not concerned or less concerned about what the effect of that might be?
No, I'm concerned about that, but I think that the issue for me, I've read Mr. Goldsmith's submission, by the way. I guess the issue for me is that I don't have enough detail to determine the extent of any effect. And, you know, I mean, the heights of the towers, there's all sorts of factors that would go into the design of an actual gondola that would need to be assessed at the resource consent stage. Right. So, does that answer your question?
Well, it does. So, I mean, probably questions that I'll put to Ms. Banks at the end, but because Ms. Banks talked about, you know, the way that it seems to be coming out in terms of the council's position is, in the subzone, it's the passenger lift is a controlled activity. In the zone below, it's controlled. And in the middle, if I'm right, the notified version is non-complying, but I think the suggestion is, Mr. Barr, that it should be restricted discretionary. So your view is, even in that 400-metre strip, potentially the airport, well, this is what you say, right? So I was checking about the gondola. You said it would be significant. But then that's when I read the issue about the gondola, and see, I'm less concerned about that.
Yes, I mean, because it is, there really is only that 400 metre or whatever strip.
Right. So your concern would be, from a landscape point of view, that whatever was decided, that an appropriate assessment could be done to ensure that the effects were avoided.
I think that's necessary as well, yes.
Rather than saying the adverse effects are significant and therefore don't do it.
Yes,
that's why I'm surprised. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm just trying to get that point clear in my mind too. Have you been involved in any of the consents sought in anywhere in New Zealand for Congress?
No.
So I'm wondering whether, in fact, in the 400 metres, it would even need pylons. I don't know what the distance is, whether, in fact, all you might be looking at in that distance is the cableway.
Yes, I honestly don't know. My reading of the One Black Merino and my reading, I have to restate. With the triple cone gondola, one of my colleagues was the landscape architect for council who did the original assessment, but he had left by the time their reapplication
I did report on the reapplication.
The issues with both of them seem to have much more to do with the base buildings and car parking associated with them than the actual towers and gondola infrastructure.
Have you travelled and seen other gondolas and cableways in action in other places?
I have, but so long ago that I'd be embarrassed to actually tell you how many years ago.
Well, no, we won't embarrass you. Okay, thank you very much.
No, nothing for me.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Redd.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
So we'll now turn to Ms. Banks, who is the last expert for the council.
Three statements of finding evidence on behalf of the Queenstown Lakes District Council regarding proposed extensions to the ski area subzones in the PDP, a strategic overview and analysis of submissions and rebuttal evidence. My strategic evidence considers in detail the relevant higher order documents and also relevant objectives and policies located within the PDP. It also discusses common themes raised by submitters in seeking to extend the ski area subzone and is therefore of direct relevance to my recommendations on submissions. A key theme central to my evidence and recommendations is that the ski area subzone is confined spatially and located in alpine environments where skiing and ancillary activities will be the primary commercial recreation offering, and landscape effects may be better mitigated through elevation. The ski areas of zone purpose in chapter 21 reflects this, the reply version, where it says the purpose of the ski area subzones is to enable the continued development of ski area activities as year-round destinations for ski area tourism and recreational activities within the identified subzones where the effects of the development are cumulatively minor. The extension of the subzone down to lower hill slopes and across wide geographic areas where skiing does not occur conflicts with this purpose. As a result, and as evident in the evidence of submitters, this results in the need for a more complex regulatory framework to manage the potential effects. I do not consider such extensions would ensure the effects of development are cumulatively minor. In summary, I oppose all rezoning proposals. I note that since filing my rebuttal evidence, an error in Council's GIS maps has been identified. And we've discussed this a couple of times already this morning. This has resulted in my partial support for NZ Ski's extension at the Remarkables referred to Area 1 becoming irrelevant, as this area is in fact located within Central Otago District territorial boundary. I'll just discuss general issues relevant to my recommendations. I oppose all rezoning proposals with regard to a number of general themes or issues that are consistent across each, irrespective of location. First is, without refinement to the ski area subzone framework, the proposals which extend below the snow line have the effect of broadening the purpose of the subzone to potentially enable a range of other non-ski activities such as mountain biking. The framework is not adequate to cater for this level of complexity and broader tourism offering. It is inappropriate to enable possible exclusion from landscape assessment matters for activities undertaken across wide geographic areas within the ONL. This position is supported by Dr. Reid's expert evidence, particularly as she notes, and I agree, that existing serious subzones are relatively inconspicuous locations that are able to mitigate landscape effects due to elevation and aspect. Thirdly, the possibility of earthworks being exempt in these locations introduces considerable uncertainty for a broad scale of possible effects, activities and effects. Exemptions provided under the ODP did not consider extensions to existing subzones or in more enabling separate provisions under the PDP for activities such as passenger lift systems and visitor accommodation. The Council has specifically provided for passenger lift systems outside of the ski area subzone as a restricted discretionary activity through Rule 21.4.19. And finally, rezoning is not necessary to support avalanche control, safety management and snow grooming, as these activities do not trigger consent, subject to my recommended amendments to Rule 21.4.19. In addition to these general issues, I now turn to each rezoning. Extensions of the subzone at Coronet Peak. In relation to Coronet Peak, NZ Ski sought two extensions to the subzone at Dutyfor Creek and into the Backbowls. NZ Ski has chosen not to file any evidence on these two submissions and to accept the panel's findings based on the Council's evidence, which is to decline the requested extensions. Extensions to the subzone at the Remarkables. Following evidence filed by NZ Ski in support of Area 1, and I'm not sure if we need to refer to that one, but we've talked about the issue in the mapping and my partial support.
I think we can take that as written as being said, but we've discussed that part of it already.
With regard to NZ Ski's proposed ski area subzone B at the base of the Remarkables Ski Field Access Road, also referred to Area 2 in my evidence, this proposal lacks information with regard to servicing and traffic effects, and the provisions presented by Mr. Dent lack a degree of definition and clarity. Mr. Glasner opposes this rezoning, noting that Council has no current plans to service this location nor any desire to take over private infrastructure installed by developers. I also rely on the evidence of Dr. Reid, who is of the view that the range of activities enabled by the provisions may result in a node of ski-related activities that would appear
incongruous
with the surrounding landscape. Extensions of the subzone at Cadrona. With regard to the extension sought by Mount Cadrona Station Limited at Cadrona, I've considered the effective bundling of activity services for passenger lift systems crossing the rural zone as raised by Mr. Dent. In my view, this is entirely appropriate for large-scale linear infrastructure extending across wide geographic areas and within the ONL to be assessed as a restricted discretionary activity as opposed to a controlled activity. A controlled activity service limits the council's ability to decline or adequately condition the alignment of such infrastructure where there are significant landscape issues. While accepting that a possible route for a passenger lift system may exist through this land, I'm not presented with compelling evidence to suggest which of the three rezonings proposed is more appropriate or feasible, such that a controlled activity status should be enabled for this activity under the subzone. However, if the panel was of a mind to support a proposal, in my view, it would be necessary to limit this extension to a passenger lift system only to avoid possible effects of earthworks and road or car parking construction, which would be exempt from landscape assessment matters. Extensions by Cadrona Alpine Resort Limited. Rezoning sought by Cadrona Alpine Resort Limited is opposed on the basis of the general issues discussed above. The zone extension seeks to enable a broader tourism offering, which I consider to be at odds with the zone purpose. No expert evidence has been filed in relation to this submission. Extension by Anderson Branch Creek Limited. The rezoning sought by Anderson Branch Creek Limited is opposed as it extends into the QE2 open space covenant area and is not promoted or supported by any ski operators nor by any expert evidence. Extensions at Cadrona and Triple Cone by Triple Cone Investments and Soho Ski Area Limited. I oppose these requests for an extension of the Cadrona and Triple Cone ski area subzones on the basis of the general issues identified above. Additionally, I consider a proposed passenger lift system corridor and an overlay framework presented for both locations are inconsistent with the rezoning principles that are outlined in my strategic section 42A. Also, the passenger lift system corridor provides for a single activity only, and at Triple Cone remains subject to a large consent which could be implemented and under which a number of amendments were made to the location of build form through the assessment process to manage landscape and ecological effects. I understand from the evidence filed that the primary purpose of the zone extensions is to enable transportation connections to ski areas. I maintain that the rural zone provides a more appropriate framework for the assessment of such activities, recognising the possible exclusion from landscape assessment matters that would result from any extension to the subzone.
Sort of view, and I'll just see if I hope I can structure them. I'm greedy. Just it's going back to that, really the question I asked Ms. Scott was around the whole extension of the purpose of the subzone, which now is including tourism activities, which not necessarily relate to the ski activity. I just know again, and you address that in your evidence, but then in some places you say, like the CARL said it's not appropriate because they're seeking to expand the range of activities beyond the skiing activities. How does that sit with that change to the provisions and the policy, which seems to envisage a wider range of activities? How do you read that? Do you see it has to be skiing and other things as opposed to just other things?
Yeah, my view on that is that policy was rephrased through the rural hearing with recognition to the zones as they were, and that the activities that are currently occurring in those zones or could be reasonably expected to, based on the foundation being seen. When faced with reviewing other proposals that are extending down to lower elevations where skiing isn't the primary offering, it's my view that that is taking it to a broader offering, and that the provision that was rephrased is fine in the context of the spatial extent of the zone as they are and as they were notified.
So it's your position that if you, it's fine to expand the purpose and the policies for the existing areas because they're already identified and they're established, and for economic and efficiency reasons, it's all right to expand into other activities, mountain biking and the like, but not to others?
My view is that the foundation of the subzone was in skiing, and over time that has become broadened into other things within the identified subzones because of changes to the operating framework, I guess. And so over time those activities have established, and we're just seeking to recognise and consolidate that within the notified zones.
Right. And you accept that's your position, isn't it? I mean, that's what I'm trying to get. So I think some of your evidence is, to me, it wasn't quite as unequivocal as that. Sometimes it talks about it, then it says it's not appropriate in other areas. So I was just trying to understand that. I think that's quite clear the answer. This other issue of, in relation to the council's evidence and rebuttal evidence, a number of the submitters have refined their position to either have these overlays or these corridors. And I think you've come back and said that adds a level of complexity which is not really envisaged for this zone. Is that a fair understanding? Is that a fair representation of what you're saying?
I guess what I'm saying is that the submitters have identified locations for this infrastructure, but I'm not presented with evidence that suggests that those are the right locations for a corridor framework, for example, and to create a set of provisions that apply to that for that specific location, particularly when there's other locations that have been promoted.
So if you take Treble Cone, for example, where there is an existing consent and the alignment is determined by that consent, where their preferred evidence or their preferred position is now not to extend the zone, the subzone, but to put that overlay in. So we've got a consent which would get embodied into a plan provision and presumably controlled activities, the way that they're suggesting it. Just tell me again why you see that as a problem. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm trying to get a clear expectation or understanding from you why that's much lesser. So they've picked up your concern about the subzone allowing a whole range of other activities and said, right, we'll be just quite focused on what we want. So effectively, in simple terms, embody our resource consent into the plan so that we have some certainty that we can enable it.
I'm not opposed to that in principle. It's the mechanics of how that works through the plan, and it's just setting up, I guess, a broader, more complex zone framework, which is already a subzone in itself,
right.
And that's what we're trying to steer away from in the structuring.
So you said you're not necessarily opposed to what Treble Cone are asking for.
In terms of, I'm not necessarily opposed to the integration of the means of access to the ski area with the ski area itself.
Right.
And sorry, the other point that I was going to make was that because the vestibular system has already been provided for outside of the zone, specifically, that's another reason why I see that corridor framework being a little bit unnecessary and complicating the plan when there is this other mechanism.
Right, so they can just apply for resource consent. As currently, the council position, that would be an RDA. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, so the difference is obviously the control status promoted by them.
Right.
And the fact that to seek a control status, which gives council no well, which needs to be approved by council, the fact that the evidence doesn't necessarily suggest that, and perhaps in Triple Cone it's different because they have their existing consent, but in the case of Soho, we don't know that that corridor is appropriate to allow for a controlled activity status.
So, going to the Katurona and the corridor of 400 metres, which Dr. Reed seems less concerned about a gondola. Again, is your position the same on that, that if it was limited to the passenger lift system going through that 400 metres, that would be an acceptable outcome or no? Seems a landscape issue. I mean, there's no ecological issues. I mean, Dr. Reed doesn't seem to be too concerned about the gondola part of it. You know, and we connect, and basically what they're asking for is to connect two areas which these activities are clearly envisaged.
Yeah. I think my point on that is that it needs to, although it's only a 400 metre strip, we need to be comfortable that the landscape or the exclusions that are allowed by extending that zone are appropriate for that area, as well as integrating that with the south zone as it already extends. And I would be more supportive of it if it was limited to passenger lift systems, but that it needs consideration to how the other exemptions in the plan, such as earthworks and landscape, would apply.
And presumably, depending ultimately what the consent status is, because that's still not best. I mean, it's quite clear what the council is doing, but I don't think the panel itself has finally recommended what it is it? No. So, there might be a final question, just in terms of the remarkables, and it'd be good to get the map. Is any of the areas that NZ Ski are looking for, are they still within Queenstown Lakes District jurisdiction? How much, if it is, and how much? Can you just give me a bit of a picture?
There is a part of it, yes, that's still within our district.
Above Lake Alta or?
Yeah, above Lake Alta. And that's the area which I was opposed to, and Dr. Reed is also opposed to.
Right. So all the other strip, so put aside that, all the other strip is out, do you think?
Yes.
But I haven't got the memory, but you know, there was a bit of A and B and there was a yellow hatched bit above Lake Alta. Is all of that still in?
I have to, I think, in the reply, present you with a map that overlays the rezoning that they seek. So in my attachments, I haven't
provided
the rezoning.
Okay,
so thank you. Mr.
Stevens? No, it's really just around that map that you're going to present that overlay. So no questions at this stage.
I want to carry on this discussion Commissioner Hill has started with you about the corridor idea that's been promoted by the submitters. I'm taking from your answers that you're seeing that the corridor would automatically, if not carefully crafted, include all the other parts of ski area subsidence. Is that the way you're conceiving it?
Do you mean in terms of the other activities that are enabled within the subzone?
Yes, or the things that the council cannot consider, such as earthworks and landscape, etc.
That's right. That if the corridor was extended, I understand it's on the basis of just allowing for transport connections and not any other type of activity that could be enabled in the subzone. But that extending that subzone would remove the landscape assessment matters from being a relevant consideration, and also potentially the earthworks provisions being exempt.
And potentially provide for a visitor accommodation. Now, if we the scope that the panel has to deal with these matters. On one hand, we have ski area subzone applied to that land, and on the other hand, we have the rural zone. So anything in between those two is within the bounds of an outcome, isn't it? And this is dependent on my questions that I put to Ms. Scott before about evidential basis of our decision making. But if the evidence was there for us to conclude that in any of the three particular examples of submitters seeking gondolas, that one or more might be appropriate, it would be within that range for us to come up with a mechanism that said they could, with a certain classification, whether it controlled or restricted, discretionary, and appropriate conditions or matters of discretion, and limit it to that, isn't it? And say, as defined on the map, not give it a zoning, just say that in that location, as defined on the planning maps, this activity can occur at this classification. That would be within the range of things we could do.
Yeah, I think that's an option
Would that approach remove your broader concern about potentially other exemptions applying, which shouldn't?
Provided if we're talking about fiscal assistance, provided the matters of discretion or control were sufficient to cover those matters that are being exempted from.
I just want to be clear that, the other thing that I was wondering is, having read through, and on the same point, having read through the two consents that were granted, the one at Preble Cone and the one at Snow Park, it seemed to me that the beneficial effect of removing the reliance on the access road was a good part of the reason why the consent was granted in each case. Would you consider that if there were to be any provisions in the plan that beneficial potential should be a matter to consider? Rather than just looking at the negatives, look at the benefits as well, in other words.
So is your question that whether I think the beneficial effects of linking the road with the ski area?
Well, we're removing the road. That was the point. If it was, say, for instance, if it was a restricted discretionary activity or a controlled activity, in either case, whether removal of the road for public access would be an appropriate matter of discretion or matter that conditions could be applied to. What I'm trying to understand is, from a planning point of view, do you see that would be beneficial, that the gondola as an alternative rather than in addition to the road in each case? And would that remove some of your concerns about cumulative effects?
I think that they're both means of access to the subzone that need to be allowed for and recognised.
Within the Preble Cone consent, the applicant was quite clear that apart from occasional large pieces of equipment. That road was unnecessary at the gondola Winton. And in the snow farm consent, the applicant equally made the point that with the gondola, that would remove the need for ambulances to go up the road and it would remove the need for people to drive up the road. If the applicants have made those in those circumstances, are those things that should be considered on future applications?
Yes, I think it would be a relevant consideration to look at in a consenting process how that the provision of that gondola would reduce the need for road access and demand on that road and possibly future upgrades, maintenance, etc. But also the road would obviously still be necessary for other things, and I think it would be difficult in the provisions to discourage the fact that there would still need to be road access to the ski area.
With the proposed extension to the Soho end of the Cadrona ski area subzone, have you had the opportunity to consider that area that Mr. Ferguson is now saying is the only extension that they would seek?
I have briefly, but I think I'd like to go back and consider that for the reply in terms of the recommendation based on the reduced extent of that zone. It is fitting with the principles and purpose of the zone in that it's a location where skiing can occur, and so in that context I think it aligns with the purpose. But
have you been up there and had a look at them?
I've been up to the site, but yeah, as I say, I haven't focused on that specific area, so I'd probably like to
get my view on that. Might be useful for you and Mr. Ferguson to go there together and before you do your reply in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Your Section 42A report, the specific one dealing with Mount Cadrona Station, I just want to make sure that I understand it, but were you suggesting that having a gondola going up to the Cadrona ski field and the gondola going up to the snow farm, it would be inappropriate for there to be both?
Not necessarily that it would be inappropriate, but that the effects of the landscape effects of having two gondolas in close proximity would need to be considered.
Considered how low the Cadrona ski area subzone comes down toward the Mount Fitzroy Station special zone.
Yes, and to some degree that relates to Mount Fitzroy Station's justification for linking the two. Perhaps if that zone wasn't quite as extensive, then that would, that 400 metres would obviously be quite a lot larger than per second. But I haven't, within the scope of this hearing, considered that location.
Do you have any concerns with that? Ignoring the Mount Fitzroy Station proposal, in terms of having a ski area subzone that comes down to an altitude which is clearly not a ski area, do you have any concerns about that as a planner?
Council's witnesses quite efficiently.
Yes, prior to lunchtime.
So unless you have any further questions of me, I think that brings the council's case to the end. I will be here tomorrow and the next day, and I believe the hearing starting at 10 a.m.
Yes.
Tomorrow. Just before I finish, I wonder if a date and time for the council's reply has been considered. I'm not sure if that has been, it may well have been timetabled, but it would be good to sort that out.
I look at my timetable of when our deliberations are, then I can probably tell you.
Perhaps, sir, just if we confirm that before the end of the hearing.
I wouldn't have thought we needed. We're deliberating on the 24th and 25th of the month, so if we had your reply by the 19th, I would have thought it would be adequate.
Thank you, sir. That sounds fine. I will check that date in amongst the other deadlines that, in particular, Ms. Banks has on Queenstown. But,
yes, well, I know that the 25th is the day that we're going to get. That I'm going to get Queenstown Mapping 42A report. But,
no, thank you, sir. We'll work towards that day.
Yeah. Fortunately, this hearing won't be, the reply shouldn't be as extensive as some of the subsequent ones.
Fortunately, that is correct.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. I'll adjourn the hearing, and the hearing of the electric plan will continue next Monday in Wanaka with the Upper Clutha hearings, which I won't be, tomorrow. I'm getting ahead of myself. You're talking about the reply.
It'll
be right from the hearing, so let's.
I think it's
going
to be
to
come back tomorrow.
Yes, we'll come back tomorrow with the others. Yes. Give them a chance. 10 a.m.
Thank you, sir.